Never heard of you before.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown preacher.
Few of them do actually own jets. So being in that 1%, you're probably right by virtue of there being so many pastors in America. But even in that top 10 of the wealthiest ones in there, quite a few of them did own jets. I didn't have time to look up every one of them. That's why I tried to keep it down to the top 10. But quite a few of them do own jets. And then, like I said, one has multiple planes and a helicopter.
And so it goes back to the body.
Right.
What does the body say? Mm-hmm. Is the body in agreement here? You know, I'm pretty sure. Just like as the children of Israel were at the Red Sea, marching towards the Red Sea, standing there huffing and puffing, some of them, let's be honest, was doing some cussing.
Yeah.
They were saying some things, but it was in some type of an agreement that took place. And, you know, like we see in the story, as God opened up the Red Sea for them. And so when you look at the body, when you look at your church body, and this is across the world, okay, I know we're pretty much homed in America, but we got to look at on the world stage, because our brothers and sisters across the water is probably having the same conversation. They may not have no jets, but they are talking about cattle or something to that nature. The congregation has a mindset to say yay or nay.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. And I think that's where we're at now. In your context, what you were saying is that there are some that can persuade some people to get it done. They will say some sweet, sweet words and things will happen. Does it deter some people away from church? Yeah. I believe so. And when you look at on the mega church platform, that already somewhat deters some people from church, because why? They're not seen. There's only a small percentage of that congregation that will ever have a face-to-face interaction with the pastor.
Yeah, yeah.
The others are pawned upon, and I hate to use that term, but pawned upon on the staff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're in that small percentage of the top giver, then you have that face-to-face interaction.
Right, right. And that was one of the things, too, that these givers that may be giving their last dime, that pastor has no idea who they are. If you, like you said, if you're not a top contributor, you probably won't ever get to see him. But back on what you touched on, the jets are on the extreme end, as you did say. But if you break it down to on the local level, with some of these churches, and there are a few around this area that are doing pretty wealthy, because you see what they're driving and where they live.
You don't say nothing about Mercedes again.
I'm not even going to mention the name of the vehicle.
He's fixated on.
But by the neighborhood that they're in and the vehicles that they're driving, and you see them in the barbershops and like I said, in the $1,000 suits and real expensive watches. And, you know, it's like, well, what else do they do? And it's, oh, I'm the pastor of so-and-so church. And it's like, okay, first lady don't work. That's one of them things that rubs me the wrong way. If you have your traditional and you making your money, I'm all for whatever they want. I want people to make money. I want people to prosper. I just don't want it to be off the backs of somebody else. That's what was done to us by the lighter skinned people. And we shouldn't be doing this to each other. We should be more so helping each other. So breaking it down to a smaller scale without the jets, there still are the expensive cars and the expensive houses in certain neighborhoods when the only source of income is coming from the church. And again, like Alonzo told me several times, the church decides on what they want to pay the pastor, and that's his salary, and that's what he gets. I don't have a problem with that, none whatsoever. Mine was just saying, as I did in the beginning, make sure you look out for home first before you give your last dime away. Because like you said, it goes back to common sense.
Let me see if Bernadette want to chime in, because I keep picturing the last time you were on and she and I were talking, and you mentioned the one income, the one stream, and I remember this pause on the air, and I said, I know Bernadette has some insight on this, so let me give Pastor Martin an opportunity. You have anything to add, Pastor Martin?
Okay. So to the jet, okay, let's talk jet. Let's talk jet. Okay, so I think I looked at the same list you looked at. I'm thinking I did. But okay, so it's 1% who have jets. And then I did some more research, and it said, according to the Trinity Foundation has a ministry watches. And they said in June 2024, they tracked 62 ministries with airplanes. And so the jet, so when they go in there and they ask for these jets, I don't know what the conversation is. Like, is it for personal use? Or is it for like ministry? And so, and if the congregation is at, you know, if they're in a place to purchase a jet, because, and I'm looking at this list, and most of these are like televangelists.
Yeah. Do you see Casey is worth $300 million? He has three jets.
I thought we were going to say a name.
I didn't say a name. I said KC. First initial, last initial.
Come on, man. This isn't Miss Rachel. Everybody can figure out what KC
is. Well, one of them, if I say his initials, you definitely know who he is, but I don't know if he owns a jet or not.
No, nah, let's not do that.
I'm not.
Okay, so yeah, we're not. Yeah. But these are like, these are televangelists, and and it may be a little bit more to their backstory.
Are they not? I hate to cut you off, but I'm a little old and I'll forget my train of thought. But even though they are televangelists, are they not tasked with the same job as ministering and pastoring to the congregation? They just are larger.
They are. But you also have, there are some things that we just have to take into consideration. Now, I'm not saying everything that everybody does, every clergy person does is right, and that I agree with everything that they do. But I'm just saying, like, if we look at this list, we don't know if they come from old money, because you see the names like I see the names.
Right.
You see the names, I see the names. And I think Alonzo and Terrence can kind of, they probably know some of the names. But we don't know the backstory. So it's like, so, and as I was preparing for the podcast, and I was just thinking about the jets, like, does the jet belong to the church? Like, did they purchase it for the ministry? Or did the people say that we're going to buy the pastor a jet so that they can go around and do ministry? And they gifted them a jet. Or did the pastor purchase a jet and gift it to the church? And so it's just so many things that we have to take in consideration. Now, I'm not saying that I'm okay with this person saying that God told me that I need a new jet to go and do ministry, because I get upset. I have a holy indignation when people bring God into their foolishness.
That's when you already have two of them parked. So yeah, he needed a third one.
So that's, you know, and sometimes people just are never satisfied. You know, you can have a 22 sitting in your garage, and when you see the new 25 roll out, you feel like you should just always have the newest thing. We see people do it all the time with technology. You could have an iPhone 14 and you see the 16 roll out, and you feel like you got to go trade in your 14 for the 16. And so sometimes people are just never pleased. Mm-hmm. But there are some ministries who have, you know, various locations, various campuses, that we sometimes have to take in consideration. And if they're operating with one senior pastor, then a jet, I guess they may be their mode of transportation sometimes. I mean, I would love for some of us to get to a place where we could, where the church would be doing so well that the church could have a jet. Because then if the church is able to purchase a jet, then we're able to go out and do more outreach. We're able to put up some apartment complexes for the homeless and, you know, for disabled veterans and all of that. Because if we're at the point where we're buying jets, then I know that our outreach is top tier. Okay. And then I want to circle back to 2 Corinthians 9 and 7. And so, and I think this is just going to sum it up. So it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Mm-hmm. And so that not reluctantly or compulsion, I just love how that's inserted before, for God loves a cheerful giver. Because, I mean, like Reverend May said, if you know you came to a service and you your gas tank is on E, you know, you made it there off of prayers and fumes, and you got $25 to your name until Friday, and it is Tuesday, and you know you got to go to work. Some people got kids that they got to go give lunch money to. You know, we got to use common sense and, like, godly judgment. You know, we got to use both of those paired together. And don't let nobody, you know, push you or talk you into giving your last when you know you got to live beyond this meeting. I mean, not reluctantly or under compulsion. And so it may be somebody sitting there who has it to give, but they're reluctant in their spirit, and they're going to still go and drop their money in the tray. Then that leads us to the widow's mite. You know, because all of them had to give. And Jesus said hers was the greatest, the widow's mite, because she gave from her heart, not out of reluctance or under compulsion. She did it from the goodness of her heart, a cheerful heart. Mm-hmm. And under compulsion, yeah, that's what we tell people, exercise common sense. Exercise common sense.
All right, I'm gonna say one more thing about the jet, and we're getting off of this plane. Because when you brought it up about it, you wish the church could have a jet. I guess it depends on who you're trying to reach and who you're trying to serve. Mm-hmm. If you're, in my opinion, if you're the pastor of this church, and I got a chance of buying a jet or helping improve and better my community, that money is going to the community and the people, my congregation, that's going to need it. I really don't feel like I need to have a jet. I know God ain't telling you to purchase a jet for me. And I'm not saying that you were against that, but you said it'd be nice if you had a jet to go out and reach your people. Uh-huh. But it's better served, like you said, too. You could buy apartment complexes. You can do some affordable housing. You could feed some people that really need to be fed and clothed. depending on who you're trying to reach, whether that JIT is necessary. Because if you're doing the community, the bus will do you better service than a JIT will, to get around in that community to help the people that way. So I guess it depends on who you looking to serve about this JIT. JIT's not just the price of the JIT alone, just the upkeep, maintenance, and fuel and pallet. JIT's, that runs over $1 million a year. And we were saying, the one guy was asking for one to get around. Like I said, he already has three and wanted another one. To me, that's gluttony. You need one to get around, you travel these places and you help it. That goes back to who is your target? Who are you trying to help? Are you have a worldwide ministry, a nationwide ministry, or are you trying to help the people in your community that are underserved?
We would pray, you know, that they've been doing some good outreach. You know, like I said, I would love to see us get to a place where we could purchase a jet, because then that lets me know that we're already doing some major things in ministry. You know, we're giving back, you know, in a great way. But I don't know what they're doing, because, you know, like you said, and you stressed this point. You said, you know, they already got two and they went and asked for a third. And so it may make good sense that, you know, okay, we've got two jets already. We want a third one. Maybe we can give this one to another ministry, give these two to two other ministries, you know, and keep it going that way. Now, I'm not okay with, you know, people just with clergy people, you know, just making life off of the backs of the people. Let me say that and be clear about that.
I totally believe that.
Yeah. I'm not with that, but I'm just saying, like with us, we're part of a traveling church. So if we got money to purchase, we'll say a plane. If we can purchase a plane for our district, that will help us out tremendously, because we have meetings, you know, all the time, all over the connectional. So that would help us out, you know, would, you know, cut some of our members' costs, plane ticket costs, and all of that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But if we're ever at a point where we're purchasing jets, then I know that we've got some apartment complexes built. We're doing stuff. We're doing ministry in a major way. And so, but no, I don't agree with saying God wants him to have a new jet to minister to his people. Now, if you just want a new jet, say that.
I was just going to add, I thank you, both of you, for that. But I love what Rodney said about depending on your ministry, because if you think about it, some of these, I can't speak to the pastor you said who already had two, but if I really want to go to remote areas and serve people who have never been exposed to the gospel, man, what better way? You think about that blessing and that opportunity. So we just don't know. And I like what you said, Rodney, because that may be where my ministry is focused now. I think locally I'm in a good place. Yeah, I could buy housing, I could do other things, but now I'm reaching people who have never heard about the blood of Jesus Christ. So I don't know. Let me stop. But that was the first thing that just came to mind when you were talking about that.
Well, you know as well as I do through our employment situation, how we see the people here locally. And I guess with me, I've always been more concerned with helping people right here in my backyard, somebody that I could put a face to. Just as simple as, and if you don't mind me saying it, like the other day when the lady said she needed some food and you purchased some food for her, that type of thing, you know, it went to a good use and a good deed, and you didn't have to, you know, zip around halfway across the world, across the country in order to do that. You're helping these people right here at home where it's needed. Now, and you're right, teaching the word and spreading the word is amazing. But there are pastors, ministers, and preachers in these areas that you're talking about going to. What are they doing for their neighborhoods and their areas? It kind of goes back to what I was saying, take care of home first. And I mean that with taking care of your own neighborhoods. Get out in the streets and go out into your own neighborhoods and talk to some of these people. I shouldn't have to feel the need to go down to Florida and Bernadette, I'm not taking any jabs.
This episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
That I'm going to help you get your jet.
I'm sorry, did I cut someone off?
Yeah, can I add something real quick?
Yes.
So in context, I know we're hopping on this jet. we love the jet for some apparent reason. But what I'm gathering from all of these talks is we have to go back to the basics. And what I mean by the basics is the church is the central place of the development of people.
Okay? Yes.
And so as you mentioned, Brother Rodney, is that taking care of home first, making sure home is correct. In the times that we are in right now, home will not be correct. We got people who are dying, people who are starving, people who needs a shoulder to cry on. And here we are, the church, all 2,000 of them in a small town in Arkansas, not doing anything. Okay. So we have to go back to the basics where the church is the central place of development. And then, you know, it's not, in my opinion, it's not a congregation. It's a village, the village of people working together. I think when you have people working together, then it spreads the word that your church is doing things. During those times of people, our ministries, mega ministries, televangelists and stuff like that, people fell for the lights. They saw the glamour. They saw, you know, the thousands and upon thousands of people sitting in the auditorium of the Staples Center or something to that nature, and fell in love with that and not giving their local church an opportunity to not only serve them, but to be a beacon of a light to a hopeless situation right now. And so I'll close it up with this, is if we will go back to the basics, we won't hopper on what the pastor has and things like that. Your pastor will be out there working. The church folks will be out there working. And then everything else will take place. And God will bless that particular area, making it fruitful, and it's multiplying.
Yeah.
And so that should be our goal.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful. I'm going to ask this question, and it's mainly because I think Rodney mentioned this on season two. You mentioned tithing, and I think you touched on acts of service or providing services versus money. Do you want to expound on that before I go to Pastor Mays and Pastor Martin?
Oh, okay. Yeah, what I said was some people would give, and basically some of the same, even if they didn't have it to give. And did tithing have to be in the form of a monetary contribution? And as long as if you're giving back to the church in some other form. Maybe the grass needs cutting, or maybe the building, something needs to be painted, or some plumbing needs to be repaired, or a roof work electrician. If someone can't afford to make that donation and they gave in some other capacity to the church as far as tithing, it's like I said before, I don't have anything against it. The church has to be kept. That's plain and simple. That's a fact. You know, the lights got to stay on. It's got to be kept up. And that money has to come from somewhere. Instead of if someone doesn't have it to give, but has a particular trade or a skill, and they donate that that time and effort to the church, that still be considered tithing, so to speak.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. Which one of y'all want to go first?
I'm trying to get unpack this because it can go it can go a whole bunch of ways. Okay. And so I'm going to go back to my original thesis statement. It's that consecrated common sense. And I'm going to do it like this and say, in the form of tithing, you know what you can do. Okay. I know the Bible talks about giving a tenth. Okay. And, you know, simple math. If you have a dollar in your pocket, give a dime. Okay. And I also believe that it should be automatic. If we love our church, we love God, it should be automatic that we want to do everything to make God's house holy, clean, don't look like it's abandoned, you know, where it's welcoming to individuals. Okay. Again, like I said, God knows our heart. We reference that so much, but what is your heart really saying? Let me go ahead and pull out the flesh. I can go ahead and tell you, if I had 10 people in front of me, at least six of them will say, well, Pastor, I don't know what they're doing with the money. Every time I turn around, they're asking. So I'm not giving a dime. Okay. However, going back to, you know, your teaching, the scripture text, when you give it, you don't worry about it. You gave because God is saying, give your tenth. And on top of that, we go a little further. What about a sacrificial offering? Mm-hmm. What are you doing sacrificially? Are you just giving God the basics? I mean, are you giving your basic prayer? Are you giving your basic scripture reading? Your basic devotion, or are you making sacrifices throughout the day, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout the year, giving that sacrificial time and offering in the place? And to your regards, Brother Rodney, the truth is we are in a time now that it takes a lot to operate a church, whether small or big. The lights have to be paid for. The water has to be done. And we know these things because we do not ever want anybody who does not have a relationship with God to come into our church and the house ain't clean.
Yeah,
it's dark. There's nothing happening. Nobody even came to clean the toilets. You know, none of that stuff. It would be a turnoff. Okay. I think for an individual, It's in your heart. You know what to do is right. And you should not be concerned. Now, if you are concerned, then maybe that's not the church for you. Maybe you need to speak with God and let God direct you to a new congregation, to a group of people. I think some people get trapped. This is my family's church. Well, your family may be filled with a bunch of devils. You know, go where God is leading you. Reverend Martin? You got your notes. Go ahead.
Okay, so tithing. And from what I've gathered from what you said, Mr. Rodney, is, you know, we need to take care of home first. You know, take care of the community. So I believe that when we tithe, we take care of the local church. And the local church also takes care of the community in which it's in. And so why do we tithe? That's the first question. Like, do we tithe because we think God needs our money? And we know that God doesn't need our money. I mean, he doesn't need anything from us. But when we tithe, we're saying, God, we trust you. We trust you to take care of us. We know that the tenth or the portion, the Bible says 10%, but you give what you can. Like, using that godly judgment, you give what you can. And so when we give God, back what he has allowed us to have, you know, we're telling him, God, we trust you and we thank you. And I'm going to say this, because some people think that all the money that's put in the offering plate on Sunday goes to the pastor, and yeah. It doesn't.
Right, right.
And I know you understand that, because, you know, you said you understand that lights, you know, have to be paid. Like, the same utility bills that we have at home, we have them in the church. And in fact, they're larger. They're larger. And so, you know, we got to pay lights, gas, and water, and all of that. We, you know, we got internet bills, Wi-Fi bills, and all of these things that we have to pay. We have insurance at the church. And there are other obligations that a church has. But I'm just saying this because I know you don't think this, Mr. Rodney, but I'm going to just put this out there, because there are some people who think that all the money that is raised on Sundays goes to the pastor, and it doesn't. Yeah.
No, that, you know, that's what I was saying in the beginning, that I know it has to operate. Yeah. Operating expenses, just like anything else. I think that we got off a little bit. What the thing was providing services to the church equate to tithing also. Okay. Like I said, if you got someone that says, you know, I don't have a whole lot, but I can come keep the yard up and cut the grass, that's their time and effort. And you go back, Pastor Myers was saying it's got to look clean. Mm-hmm. Well, if they got the grass and the outside looking nice and clean and litter and trash picked up, I was just asking about what your guys' thoughts were as far as that being a contribution, just as well as tithing, because we know time is money. And that person still had to get over there. They had to buy gas. They got to buy the supplies for the lawnmower, but they're going to cut the grass so that you don't have to pay somebody else to keep that grass up. And they probably, and that's money saved. So was the equation, I'm asking, could that be looked at as also being tithing also?
So yeah, I would say yes to this regard.
Yeah.
The yes part is you want to give the best of your service. Mm-hmm. And Big Mama and them told you that you had to give tithes, and tithes in the mind means money. But again, we go back to God knows our heart. And I think that in that moment, that by you coming and being of service,
yeah,
being a great servant leader, being an exemplary or example to young people and people in the congregation by being at the church working, I think that will suffice.
Yeah.
Now, on the flip side of that, if God has blessed you and you got a pocket full of money and you know better, mm-hmm. and you say, well, right. God, I'm going to cut the grass this week because I want to keep my money in my pocket.
Yeah.
There's a difference there. You know, right? Again, the heart and the mind tells the true story of where is your faith? What do you believe? And I hope I was able to answer that in the context for you, Brother Rodney, that
yes.
Yes. Yes. If you don't have it, as the old church will tell us, I believe that service to the church and your presence there will justify for a sacrificial tithe and offering. But if you deliberately hold back, then it goes back to the scripture text. Will a man rob God?
Uh-huh.
Heck yeah. He just robbed him right there. In what? In tithes and offering. Because it's right there in his pocket.
I just love Jesus because I think it's so debatable. You'll hear some pastors who say yeah, some say no, but it's so clear when you look at the Old Testament, the focus was on the tenth, but I thank God for Jesus because he brought clarity to all of this. And then, and the example of the widow giving the two coins, and y'all going to have to help me because I never remember. That's where I struggle with. I'm still praying about it. I'm really working on that, but I can never, I'll know the story. I'll know the parable, but I cannot remember which gospel. But the widow and the two coins was a perfect example of what you've been talking to, or both of y'all alluding to, giving from the heart. And so that's all that matters. If you don't have anything else, as you just said, I can give you my time. I can cut that grass. I can make it look good. God knows. I love the example which you said, Pastor Mays, about on the flip side, having the money, though. And it's just like the Pharisees. They were pouring the money in, but their heart wasn't right. So I really love that story. Pastor Martin, you have anything else to add?
I just, to Mr. Rodney's question, I believe that, like Reverend May says, yes, I believe tithing can look like time, talent, or treasure. Or all three combined. Your time, your talent, and treasure. Or treasure, because you know we find ourselves in different seasons in life where God, I just ain't got no treasure. But I got a little bit more extra time now, you know, in this talent that you've given me, then you know I can utilize it, you know, for your glory. And so I believe yes, that it can look like those three things.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
So I'll hand it off and let everyone give their final thoughts. I know we're at 1 hour and 6 minutes now. So Brother Rodney, do you, your final thoughts, anything you want to add before we close out?
I just want to thank you for giving us this platform to have some meaningful discussion, clarity, and an understanding of the inner workings of church finances. Like Pastor May says, giving from the heart, along with Pastor Martin, and some of the things where are out of our control as far as these mega churches and millionaires and what they do with the money that they acquire. And this platform of giving back with what we can do here in our community and what's locally that we can take care of instead of, I'm not even going to go to the JETS. We're done with that. It's landed. It landed. But I like it with, you know, we control what we can control. We do what we can do. We worship as we see fit. And long as it's in the eyes of God.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Pastor Mays.
Again, thank you. Thank you all again for this opportunity to shed some insight and light. And I hope that for those that are listening, that it has been beneficial to you and help you even in your walk of faith and even in your walk of questioning and having these questions, because you're not the only one that has these questions going on. I would encourage everyone that's listening, just continue to have the faith, continue to work for the Lord, and your greatest reward is coming. But to close in this context on what we are talking about, and I found a scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse number 7. And I want to emphasize on this. It says, stay there eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the workers deserve his wages. Do not move around from house to house. And what Jesus was affirming to us tonight is that those who work in ministry are worthy of receiving support for their needs and not their wants. There's a difference. Yeah. So again, having that common sense and that consecrated common sense together, you will know what to do is right, and the church will flourish.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Bernadette.
This was a good dialogue. And I appreciate Mr. Rodney for, you know, asking some questions and discussing some things that so many other people often wonder about, you know, but, you know, it's just not talked about enough. And so, Alonzo, thank you for creating, you know, a platform where we can talk and have these type of discussions. Because you know how I feel about, like, I feel like the church needs to have more discussions about things that we deal with on a daily basis, but the church shies away from. You know, weekly we have people dealing with things, and, you know, people dare not talk about them because, I mean, why do we talk about that? But I thank God for you and your platform, and I thank Mr. Rodney for coming and asking, you know, giving us something to think about, you know. And I thank Reverend Mays for joining us and adding his insight, and it's always a good time. Always a good time here on the podcast, The Unknown Preacher LA.
thank you. I'll tell you, I am to God be the glory. I really appreciate all of you, and I'm so thankful for the dialogue, of course, but also for the insight that so many of my guests have brought to the table. And now it's been a pleasure to meet Pastor Mays for the first time, but the ministry grows, the podcast grows because so many people with their spiritual wisdom are chiming in, and I'm feeding off of it. I'm really learning from all of you, Rodney, Pastor Mays, Pastor Martin. Thank y'all. And I say it grows because I have people like from day one, Bernadette, my sister-in-law, Felicia, Whitney, Teresa, Ronald. Those people have from day one just like been real with me and said, hey, look at it this way, or you should have this, or we need to talk about. So I thank God for bringing those vessels into my life. So, and I'll just say on the money piece that we should really focus and think about money as a tool and not an idol, right? So that tool is the way to help those in need, to feed those who are hungry, to keep warm those who are in the cold. And when we look at money that way, it's consistent with what Jesus said and what he trusts us to do with it. And so I'll just close out like that. And again, thank y'all again. I look forward to the next time. God bless each of you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's very nice meeting both of you, Pastor Mays and Pastor Martin. Hopefully we can have a discussion again.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate everybody. Peace and blessings. You.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. unknown preacher.